Today's podcast is brought to you by Draft. If you love fantasy basketball, then you need to try my new favorite app, Draft. It is daily fantasy basketball, but not like the other guys. On Draft, you play real live snake drafts with other people, just like in your season-long leagues. It's a draft that lasts for one night, just one night, and there's no management. Just set it and forget it. And the best part, you play for cold hard cash. There are new drafts every few minutes, so you can join one right now if you're listening to this podcast. And drafts start from just $1 and go all the way up to bigger prizes, so there is something for everyone. There's no salary cap. You play in a real life snake draft just like you play with your friends in a season long league. Come and join me on Draft today. Download the app at any time. Just search Draft in your app store and join a game in minutes. Or play right from your computer on draft.com, whatever works best for you. You can even get nice push notifications when your draft starts on your phone or on your computer. For a limited time only, all new players get a free, that's right, free entry into a draft when you make your first deposit. But you have to use my promo code, LOCAVS, that's LOCAVS. That's right, a play a real money game for free just by using the promo code LOCAVS on your first deposit on Draft. So download the app today, look up the Locked On Fantasy Leagues, or if I may start a league, you can follow me in there at CWMWrights. It's the same as my Twitter handle. And have some fun with Draft. Now, here's today's podcast.
You are Locked On Cavaliers, your daily podcast on the Cleveland Cavaliers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to the Locked On Cavaliers podcast. As always, I am Chris Manning, your host from FearTheSword.com and The Step Back. Joining me today is Michael Sykes from SB Nation and the I've Got a Problem newsletter and podcast that covers sneakers. And Mike, you can find him on Twitter at Mike D. Sykes. I'm Craig. Mike, what's going on?
What's up, man? Thanks for having me on.
Dude, always. Appreciate it. Always. We're going to get into Cavs-Wizards because you also watch Bullets Forever, but I want to ask you this. Just someone who's watching the Cavs from afar, who is observing this team as they're 3-5 and are switching lineups and Tristan Thompson's hurt, what do you think, what do you make of what's going on with the Cavs right now?
I kind of don't really know what to make of it exactly. Like, because when the season first started, I'm like, okay, like the Cavs, they're obviously going to have a lot of issues to work out with. All of these new pieces, they're not completely healthy. Obviously, like losing an all-star and Kyrie Irving definitely hurts, especially when you're replacing them with like Derrick Rose and Jose Calderon. So like, it's going to take a while for things to go well. And like the only thing that has been the only known constant here is LeBron James, like as always, right? Like that's just LeBron. But like outside of him, it just feels like no one on the team has been worth anything on either end of the floor. And that's really weird to see. Like, and that's probably not fair. Cause like, I think Kevin Love's been, he's been okay. Like he's been, I think he's been kind of up and down. He's been good on offense and kind of terrible on defense, but like, he's also not being put in great positions defensively because of the position that he's been playing at the five for some of the season. But, you know, I just think, you know, they've been tinkering with a bunch of lineups, trying to figure things out on the fly. And I feel like, honestly, it's preseason a bit for them. Even 8 games into the season, like they're losing to, the Nets and Pelicans and Pacers. And it's just like, okay, but they still got LeBron and they're still the Cavs. Like at the end of the day, like I don't trust what I'm seeing right now from them.
You know, I think you're right to kind of look at it and say, okay, this is preseason because look, it's 5 starting lineups that we've already seen so far. You're missing Isaiah Thomas, who's either the second or third best player on the team, depending on who you ask, right? Like that's a real thing,
right?
It's a problem, and like it is a concern that you have these issues. I also just don't know if we should be that surprised, right? Like I think they're right now the worst defensive rating in the league. Look at the personnel. You have Jeff Green, he's Jeff Green. You have Derrick Rose. You have J.R. Smith, who's been abysmal to start the year on both ends of the floor. Yeah, you have 36-year-old Dwayne Wade. you're playing Kyle Korver and you need him for spacing, and you're playing Channing Frye now, and Tristan Thompson, who hasn't been great to start the year, is now out for a month with a calf injury. And some of this to me is not surprising. There are certainly concerns. There are certainly things I think will get better. I think that they will get better over time. They're too good not to be better over time, I would say, just because they have LeBron, and even though they're old, they should just be better. But I think they're kind of going through something right now, and whether that's chemistry, whether that's just style of play, whether it's just like this is what they are because they're old and have a lot of flawed guys and they're asking LeBron to do a lot. I think like these problems should have maybe been more predictable than we thought they would be. At least in my mind, like I didn't necessarily think they would start this bad, especially when you look at who they've played. They've lost to the Pelicans, the Pacers, the Nets, the Magic. These are not the league's elite teams, and now they're getting into a harder stretch of the season.
Yeah, that was my thing. Like, I figured that they would lose to, like I didn't know what would happen opening night. Well, I figured, like, LeBron would, like, dunk Kyrie opening night, and, like, maybe right. they would probably win the game, right? And I figured they'd be competitive with the Bucks and then probably lose. But, like, the rest of their schedule, I feel like, has been all games that I pretty much assumed that they would win despite, like, having their issues. And so that's kind of been the thing that has surprised me. Mostly is that, like, their issues have been so great that, like, even LeBron James himself could not overcome these issues. Right? And like, obviously, like, it's a team thing, right? Like, there are five people on the court at all times. But, like, normally LeBron is, like he's good enough to put you over the hump against X team, like the Nets or something like that, right? Mm-hmm. Like, normally the game's close. But, like, these games aren't even close. Like, they're out of hand. Like, everyone's hurt. And it's just like, I don't even, the fix for them, just like it isn't readily available. Like, it doesn't immediately present itself to me. And so, like, that might be, like, the kind of concerning part, is that, like, I don't really see where the fix for them right now is coming from as far as, like, their defense goes. But I mean, if IT gets healthy at some point this season, hopefully when Tristan comes back in a month, he's a productive player, the productive guy that we know him as, and everyone else has kind of they kind of get their groove together, I guess. I don't know, but it's just been a really weird start to the season for them.
Yeah, I mean, LeBron's been good offensively, right? Like, LeBron been really, really good offensively.
LeBron's been incredible.
Bad defensively, you know, like the some of the issues defensively do come, you know, are responsible with him. And, you know, I don't think you can state enough that the five lineups and five starting lineups already can, like, that can't be overstated, like, how definitely weird that not. Is and how hard it is to find a rhythm when you have all these new pieces, because you replace functionally Kyrie Irving with two guys so far in Dwayne Wade and Derrick Rose, and you're adding a third in Isaiah Thomas at some point. And, like, that's a thing. And, like, that is a real thing you're kind of having to think about if you're the Cavs. Here's one theory I'm gonna pitch you, and this is kind of the reasons why I think the Cavs are in some trouble long term. I think, like, they will probably still be one of the best teams in the East in the regular season. Probably, like, eventually just figured out make the finals, because I think, like, LeBron himself deserves the benefit of the doubt until he doesn't do it.
Right.
But, like, if you look at how the other teams in the league have built around their stars, San Antonio has their system. You could argue that it's archaic. You could argue Rudy Gay is, like, what are you doing functionally picking Rudy Gay over or Jonathan Simmons in some capacity? Why are you giving Pau Gasol a lot of money? They have their system. Houston this summer got a lot of long-range wings, all the kind of wings like PJ Tucker, Luke Mbah-a-Mute, guys the Cavs probably need or could have needed, like, or that type of player. And you center them around what Chris Paul and James Harden are going to do. You have Capella there for rim protection. There's a system there. Golden State amplified what they do by, like, getting Nick Young, even if he has his issues, and saying, okay, you're going to make him work. Omri Caspi, got him on a really cheap deal. He brings what you sort of need to that system. The Cavs' system still feels like it's LeBron James. And you're asking LeBron to kind of fix that in the regular season and be the one kind of building the chemistry and doing it at 33 and not utilizing Kevin Love fully, and you just, whatever reasons you want to kind of look at it. I just don't know if the Cavs have, like, really decided to build around LeBron in a way that really is the necessarily the smartest. I think they're asking a lot of him, maybe more than they have ever since he's come back.
Yeah, probably. I also think, like, there are a couple things with that. Like, I agree with you. Let me just start by saying that. Like, I think, like, there's way more pressure on LeBron to do way more with this team and make it work than there ever has been in his second stint in Cleveland. But, like, I also think that's a function of having the front office turmoil that they did for so long in this offseason. Like, even though, like, they eventually kind of settled that, like, right at the point where they were drafting, like, I still feel like, you know, heading into free agency, like, there was just chaos surrounding the team. And, like, you can't make good decisions on your team when stuff like that is going down. And, like, the Cavs didn't really have a lot of options anyway. As far as free agency goes, like, I think the only option that you guys really had was re-signing Kyle Korver, which you did.
Yeah.
But then once you get hit with that that Kyrie Irving bombshell, like, I don't know. Like, so on one hand, I can kind of see where, like, the lack of continuity and functionality in the front office could be a problem here. But, like, on the other hand, like, I don't know how any team would handle a trade request from one of the best point guards in the league. Like, I think that is something that we can't really overlook here, especially as late as it happened in the offseason. Like, maybe you could say they should have gotten a deal done sooner, but, I mean, they got this Nets pick out of it. So, like, I mean, that pick might not be as good anymore if the Nets are good, but, like, it'll still probably be a lottery pick at the end of the season. So, like, I don't know. I mean, it's really hard to say. Like, the only thing that you know, that we can say is 100% true. Like, LeBron is having to do so much more than he ever has, and that's not a great thing for this season or for the future in Cleveland.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Nets pick was certainly something they valued, and you could certainly argue that they could have gotten something that was more win now for Kyrie. And I think, too, just what Kyrie brought, I think we probably, in the aftermath of that deal, just in terms of the optics of him leaving and all of these different, and what he, and kind of how he talks, honestly, because it's just like he's easy to make fun of when he says kooky things, but you can't replicate what you did with Kyrie with this roster. Like, you can't run, like, so much isolation and do all these things. And the way they've compensated so far is, you know, Dwayne Wade's on the floor with Jeff Green and Kyle Korver, and Jeff Green's getting elbow touches. And when then maybe that should be Kevin Love, and you stagger things differently. And, like, you're banking on Derrick Rose staying healthy and being something of what, close to what he was. And, like, that's a lot to ask. And, you know, Isaiah's not back yet, and we don't know exactly when that'll be, and... You know, they'll have to reacclimate him, but there are just these issues that I don't know exactly how you reconcile them, and some of them you probably will, like, we won't think about them in a few months when things are closer to normal and we see kind of what ends up happening with this team. But there's a lot of just kind of things I don't know exactly how they fix, and this should have been the start of the year where you kind of figure that out. And again, the lineups don't hurt. Tristan Thompson injury doesn't help. Or the lineups don't help, excuse me, but it's bad. Like, 3-5 with the worst defense, it's not exactly the start I think they were hoping for. And I think, too, some of the other teams in the East have played well, and, like, they are going to have to just kind of figure this out against good teams. And we're all just kind of wondering, like, is there other ways to fix this, or do we kind of back ourselves into a corner that we don't know how to get out of? Whether that, can you actually accomplish what you want to accomplish with what you have in front of you right now?
Right. Yeah. I think that's kind of where, like, everything kind of falls. It's like, what can you actually do with, like, what is the limit to this roster that you have built? Like, you, when you made the Kyrie deal, like, you intentionally got kind of like this balanced package back where, like, you have stuff for the future, you have stuff for now. Maybe if you leaned a little bit more toward getting stuff for now, maybe you'd be a bit better. But I don't think, like, I also feel like that's kind of not if Kobe Altman had kind of looked at it that way, like I feel like he wouldn't have been doing his job. So like I feel like he did his job the correct way here. But like at the same time, I also feel like it might have hurt the team here. I wonder if Ante Zizic will help at all for you guys. Like I don't know how ready he is to play. I don't know if you've seen anything on that or if you've talked to anybody about that. But like I feel like having a good big man here would definitely help as far as defense goes for you guys. But like
I'm not sure he's a good defender. That's kind of my thing. I don't know what I think you're right. Like, I think they do need a defender because like Channing Frye is going to play more now and he's awful on defense. he's awful on defense. So like I don't know exactly how that ends up getting fixed, but I mean we'll see. I guess I mean I don't know. I don't think the Wizards game, which we'll get to talk about here, is the game we necessarily get fixed. But
oh, it might be.
Well, but, okay. Like on that note, well, what is up with the Wizards right now? They're 4-3. Blew that lead against the Suns, who are the Phoenix Suns, and shouldn't be and are good, even though they're playing better post Earl Watson and Eric Bledsoe drama. They've beat the Kings, really lost to the Warriors, lost to the Lakers in overtime in L.A. What's up with the Wizards right now?
I mean, the Suns scored 106 points in three quarters yesterday. Like they held the Suns to 15 points in the first quarter, and lost. What was I think it was 121 to 115 or 122?
Yeah, 122 to 116.
116. Okay, so that's 106 points. 107 points. I can't do math.
Look, journalism and math. It's iffy.
It's definitely iffy, but no, I mean they have just been awful in stretches defensively. Like you've had games where like they've been like for example the Lakers game. Like everyone was complaining about how they couldn't get stops in that game, but they held the Lakers to 92 points in regulation, which is like that's pretty good. Actually, that's a pretty good thing. And they held the Nuggets to like I think like 101 in regulation. And like I don't know the per possession numbers there off the top of my head, but like I remember looking at them and they were actually really good. Like they were per the NBA stats tool, they were a top 10 defense before last night's game. I haven't checked since they played the Suns, and I'm sure that's dropped significantly now, but like they've been up and down defensively all season long, and so like you've got these quarters where like they're locking in and giving extra efforts everywhere, and like every rotation is crisp, and they're switching everything because they like to switch like 1 through 4, and Gortat's protecting the rim, and the post is locked down, and they're just perfect, and then like they're letting TJ Warren cut back door and dunk the ball on them in the next quarter. And it's just like, yo, like I don't understand what exactly is going on here. Like I think it's kind of a function of the team thinking that it actually is way better than it actually is. Cause like they're a very good team, but I also think you know, they probably think they're a little better than they are. I think you guys saw that when Bradley Beal said that the Cavs were like ducking them in the playoffs or whatever. Yeah. Like that is like that's a function of an athlete's confidence, right? But at the same time, like, don't be ridiculous. Like, it's LeBron. Like, I don't think LeBron's really out here ducking anybody. Like, I don't care how epic that one game was. Like, nah, like it's not that. So yeah, I don't really know. Is kind of the answer that I have for you, which is like a trash answer. So I'm sorry.
No, I mean I it's not trash. I mean I think. Like, when I've watched them, I've either been like, oh my god, this team might be the team that beats the Cavs, or, like, how do you blow this lead against the Lakers? Like, like the Suns game, I saw highlights of it, and I was just like, oh, this is weird. And they don't have Markieff Morris right now, who obviously has been huge for them, and, like, the Oubre stuff really has worked. Like, I really like the Oubre-Porter lineups, like, quite a bit.
Yeah, they're
like,
great.
They're switchable, and, like, Porter's been, like, incredible. You know, like he's been
Otto amazing. Porter has been amazing. He's been amazing, and like their starting lineup is like it's one of the best three starting lineups in the league right now. So like that, their bench is obviously like still trash, and that is part of the issue. But like the starters also have lapses too. So like it's not all on the bench.
Yeah. what has been something for you that has surprised you about this team in some way?
Just the how good Otto Porter and Kelly Oubre work together. And like, we kind of just talked about it. So, like, I don't really – I feel like this is kind of a cop-out going back into it. But, like, they've been really good. Like, Oubre is shooting 46% from the field and, like, 41% from three, which is pretty good. It's way up from what he shot last season. Porter is amazing right now on both ends, which is, like – because he wasn't a good defender last year. And he's playing every passing lane right, grabbing all these rebounds, guarding, like, Paul Millsap one-on-one in the post. Like, he's been incredible. Just kind of the perfect auxiliary player to have on your roster. Like, he doesn't need a play drawn up for him. He just gets into space and makes plays, and it's been great. So, like, I'm kind of sad because, like, Markieff Morris is coming back against the Cavs, and so, like, we'll probably see a lot less of that lineup. But, you know, hopefully with Morris back, we get a little bit more of maybe Gortat can sit a little bit more and Markieff can play the five, and we can still get that that Porter-Oubre combination because they've really been good.
I feel like they're going to be up for this game. That's just my guess, not being around the team, but I just knowing what they've said about the Cavs and how what they want to do. I feel like Friday could be a big statement game for them, even if it's punching the Cavs while the Cavs just look abysmal. Like, that would be a big thing for Washington. If they just, like, spank the Cavs at home, you know? Like, the Cavs come in, look flat, yeah. and don't play well with no Tristan Thompson and, like, LeBron. Like, even if LeBron has a big game, you know, Wall should be able. Like, they should also just be able to dominate what they're going against, right? Like, J.R. Smith's been really bad. You know, like, he's been bad to start the year, and Bradley Beal is a much better player than him anyway. You know, and like, he should be able to win that matchup. John Wall should just destroy Derrick Rose, right? Like, John Wall should have no problem handling Derrick Rose on both ends of the floor, and that puts a lot of pressure on LeBron. And then you get into, you know, like, how do Porter and Morris and maybe Oubre handle LeBron, and that gets into what this series might look like as a playoff series, but. And it's too early to kind of get into that, thinking about where both teams are at, and especially with Morris just now coming back. But, like, I'm very excited for this. This is the game where I thought the Cavs, if they were in better form, would kind of tell us something about this group. And now I'm wondering if this is, like, a pride game for them, where they just were like, all right, we're the Cavs, we're going to go out and do something. And LeBron is just, like, a terror. And I wonder if that's the case. But at the same time, like...
Yeah.
Like, they just might get spanked. You know, if Washington is motivated to kind of make, not just make up for the Suns loss, but make a point in a game that's going to get a lot of attention, then maybe that's what happens.
I kind of feel like this is a game where, like, LeBron drops, like, a 50-point triple-double just because, like, things have been so bad. And, like, people have talked so much about how awful the Cavs are, and, like, rightfully so. But, like, LeBron is still, like, this is going to be the game where he's just like, yo, I'm LeBron and nothing else matters and I'm just the best. Like, that's all that there is to it. And, like, the Cavs will, like, win by, like, 5 points or something. And, like, John Wall will, like, shoot a weird three at the end of the game. All the Wizards fans will complain.
Wizards fan will get just super angry about it, yeah.
Yeah, because that's what they do, and like that, like any Wizards fan that is listening to this right now knows, like, the Wizards have traditionally been a team that, like, people like to get right against, like, even when they're good. Like, I think the Celtics had, like, a weird losing streak going on last year or something like that, and, like, the Wizards went up to Boston, like, got blown out. Mm-hmm. Or something like that, and like they're just a team that tends to do that. Like, they have these mental lapses that are just really weird. So, like, I am totally prepared for a number of outcomes tomorrow. So, like, I feel like the game's going to be pretty crazy, but, like, I'm ready for everything to just kind of explode.
Wrap it up on this note here. True or false, are the Wizards the best equipped team to actually be the team that knocks off the Cavs this year if the Cavs end up being vulnerable come the playoffs?
Yes, maybe. I feel like the Celtics are capable. I also feel like losing Gordon Hayward is going to be huge for them.
They've been better than I thought, though. I will say that. Like, they've been better without Hayward, and Kyrie has been better than I thought they would be.
Yeah, Kyrie's been really good, but, like, I've been really impressed with what Brown and Tatum have been able to do.
Tatum,
and like,
Tatum's way better than I thought. Like, I was skeptical of him, and he's been great.
I'm also, like, not totally sure if, like, this is all sustainable for them. Like, there have been a bunch of teams in the league this year that I'm just like, yo, I don't know if you're actually this good, but, like, this, like, and I feel like the Cavs have also played them all.
Yeah,
the Nets, the Magic, like the Pacers. Yeah, like
Nick Vucevic is just like bombing threes, and Aaron Gordon's like, you know, an MVP candidate like the first weeks of the year, and like the Nets are good, you know, the first weeks of the year, and yeah, like they have played all these teams, and this was supposed to be like the easy part of the schedule for the Cavs, and them just being like a murderer's row, you know. Like, all right, like, we're going to lose to the Pelicans by 10. Like, that's fine.
Yeah, so I mean, I don't really know. Like, I feel like if that forward combination is good for Boston, like, they'll probably be the better equipped team because Al Horford is really good. But then again, like, he gets signed by, like, whoever LeBron plays for whenever.
Yeah.
So.
Like, Kevin Love's Kevin Love's dominated him the last 2 years. And so,
yeah. Tristan Thompson. Like, that. Yeah, I was going to say, Kevin Love and Tristan Thompson have, like, destroyed that dude. So, like, the Cavs just seem to, like, the Cavs are for him what, like, the Warriors are for the Clippers, I feel like, at this point.
Yeah. Just like, no matter what where you go, he's just waiting. Like, right. LeBron, like, for Al Horford, actually is Pennywise. Like, that is actually that is actually what LeBron is for Al Horford. He's Pennywise.
That was a great costume, by the way.
Look, LeBron put in so much... The whole team put in so much effort for Halloween. Like, collectively more than they have on defense so far this
season. That's funny. That is funny.
Look, like, they had made a point of it. Like, Kevin Love made a point to have rookie Chetty Osman come over and say it took him, like, 3 hours to get into his Freddy Krueger paint. And, like, yeah. Kevin Love shaved his beard for his costume, for his Sting costume. And LeBron, went, like, literally went as Pennywise. Isaiah Thomas, like, looked like Eazy-E. Like the best Eazy-E costume I've probably ever seen.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, and, like, just look. Like, the Cavs, they're the goofiest. They're the goofiest thing ever. Like, Kyle Korver... Like, per the low post, they literally talked about this on that podcast. Like, shouts to Brian Windhorst for reporting, like, literally doing reporting on this somehow. Like, Kyle Korver, like, flew in his friends who were actors from L.A. they at least flew in to, like, be his munchkins. Or be his Oompa Loompas for
Come on. Costume. They really did that much. Like, wow.
It's incredible. Like, it's literally, like, more effort than I've ever put in on Halloween. Or maybe anything. Wow. Like, maybe I'm just like...
Yeah, I was going to say, like, that might be more effort than I've ever had in my life. Like,
yeah, and like, Korver, like, looked like Johnny Depp, creepy Willy Wonka. Like, he really had that going on.
Yeah, that was kind of a creep look.
Yeah, I'm like, just be Gene Wilder. Like, be the good one. Like, be the good Willy Wonka. But, like, they put in that much effort on Halloween, and you also... And then you got... Like, what they do on defense, right? Like, and we'll see if it gets better. It should get better some. I don't know. But the Friday should be interesting. I'm very excited to see the Cavs play the Wizards. I want to see how they handle what Washington's doing, especially now that, as you pointed out, that Markieff Morris is back. But, Mike, thank you so much for coming to the pod. And just real quick, just so everyone knows where they can find everything you have going on right now, just tell them what everything you're working on right now, especially since you are getting to cover sneakers, which is always something you've been very excited about doing for a long time.
Most definitely, man. Most definitely. So first of all, just follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Mike D Sykes. Like, I'm a sneaker guy, so like I take pictures of shoes and stuff. Like I've kind of been thinking about doing like this whole street photography thing where like I just go up to people and ask like, yo, can I take a pic of your shoes because they're nice? But like, that's kind of creepy. So like, I'm kind of debating on doing that. But in the meantime, like, I have this this newsletter, this I Have a Problem newsletter, and this podcast that you guys can subscribe to on iTunes and listen to on SoundCloud. And I can be in your inbox every Monday. So just follow me on Twitter. I shoot out those links religiously all the time. Follow my work on SB Nation. I write about shoes there. And yeah, I have some pretty fun things coming out, so I hope you guys enjoy that.
Yeah, go check that out. You'll learn so much about sneakers just by getting a newsletter in your inbox. But this has been the Locked On Cavs podcast for Friday, November 3rd. We'll be back tomorrow with a recap of Cavs Wizards. Should be an interesting game, and we'll talk to you then.